could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost, but Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me. Blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me.
He came to me.
He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Amen. Well, we sure have heard good singing today. Sure has been a blessing to hear people use their talent for the Lord, singing for the Lord Jesus. Before I get into the message this morning, I want to recognize a few things. I want to say, first of all, a happy anniversary, 31st anniversary to Hank and Birgit Cox. Happy anniversary to this good family. We appreciate them. And 31 years, that's great. We had Hank speaking German to her in there this morning, and it was quite a sight. We were just giving some examples of unknown tongues, amen? But we appreciate Hank and Birgit. It's also good to have Allie Nicholson home for break from college. I think, if I understood her correctly, she'll be flying out tomorrow, and so we'll pray for safe returns for you, Allie, as you head back. Sister Sun Short is going to be having knee surgery tomorrow, and Brother Benny's already got her rehab schedule worked out. If you remember, it wasn't long ago he was having the surgery, and he says Sister Sun pushed him like a slave driver, and so he has really been looking forward to this surgery. If there's such a thing, but I'm just telling you what Benny said, amen? So we'll certainly pray for Son on more than one situation there. Little Ryan Jenkins is going to be having surgery Tuesday in Fairfax. That's Adam and Angie's little boy, and he's having, I think, the tube removed, the feeding tube, and so you pray, if you would, for that family. And then Brother Russell will be going, I think it's Tuesday, to see the knee specialist tomorrow. Tomorrow to see the knee specialist. And so you pray for Brother Russell as he goes. And then I look back there in the back and I see my buddy Daniel. And he's recovering from surgery on his leg. And it sure is good to have he and Daniel together. Now, Danielle was here last week, but Brother Daniel wasn't able to. But Daniel, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord with us. And we're glad that you're here. And you continue to pray now as he recovers from this surgery that he had on his leg. All right. There's much more I can mention, and there'll be more announcements at the close of the service, but I just want to encourage you to pray for your church family and ask God to be with those that are going through difficult times. I want to preach to you this morning on the storms of life. I don't know that there's a greater chapter in all the Word of God about the storms of life than Acts chapter 27. We have a little backdrop here. There's so many lessons, and I'm just going to have to pick and choose. This morning I want to talk to you about how God watched over His man in this storm. I want to talk to you a little bit about storms. Sometimes I think when people go through hard situations in life, automatically our minds think, well, God's punishing me. And I can't say that He's not. I don't know. I have to know why. You know, how you're living and what's going on in your life. And it's not my place, really. That's between you and God. I do know this. I know that the Bible says there are storms of correction. And certainly, God uses the storms of life to correct us. You have to really read no further than Jonah to see where God corrected him in the storm and ultimately got Jonah where he wanted him, which is a wonderful picture, as is this storm, of the sovereignty of God. That when man rules, God overrules. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that. There's storms of correction, no doubt. So if you're here and you're disobedient to God's will, I'm going to tell you now. Now listen to me very carefully. It's not going to work out well for you. Okay? You say, well, I'm just not going to do what the Bible says. Well, there's a price to pay for that. And it's not my place to try to make you do what God said. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And He leads and guides all of His children into truth. And God chastens those who He loves. Now, if you're saved, there's a penalty. There's a price to pay for disobedience to the revealed will of God. And that's what happened with Jonah. But then there's the flip side of that. And you have the disciples in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter number 8. Where I think it's Matthew chapter 8 also, where Jesus had told them in this account, He told them, He said, get on the ship and let us pass over to the other side. They were going over to the town or the city of Gadara, where there was going to be that man there filled with a legion of devils. They did what God said to do, and yet they found themselves in a fierce storm. And so that's not really a storm of correction, that's a storm of perfection. You know why? Because their faith was perfected. They got to see the work of God in a way that ordinarily they would not have gotten to see had they not gone through that in their life. Now, God will grow us, and He will use a variety of ways to grow us and to conform us into the image of His Son. Storms certainly are a part of that. I used to think there were only two types, and those were the two types, until I really began to get into this study that I'm going to share a few truths with you today, and then again this evening, the Lord willing. We may even stay a little longer than that. We'll see how the Lord leads. But then here's a storm, and I want you to think about this, where God really didn't tell Paul to get on the ship. Paul's not running from God. Now listen to me. Paul actually said, I don't think we should sail. Did you read that? Paul was a prisoner. All right? And God had told Paul, He said, I want you to go to Rome. He said, you're going to Rome. And yet, the timing, man tried to disrupt. But as I said, when man thinks he's ruling, God overrules. Paul had actually told them, this is not a good time to sail. He said, actually, he told them in verse number, let's look at it here, in verse number, the latter part of verse number 9, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but of our lives. He said, not a good idea to pull out right now. Just not a good idea to do that. And we're going to see some things in tonight's service where oftentimes God will send us a word of warning. And as we study the scripture, we find it in the life of David, we find it in the life of Samson, we find it in the life of Peter, where God sent a word of warning. It's happened in many people's lives down through my ministry and the pastorate, where God sent a word of warning and people just totally disregarded that word of warning and went head on the way they wanted to go, and they had to pay the penalty. Now, I hope there's no one here this morning that as I was preparing this message that God was saying, I want you to prepare this message because I know who's going to be there, and God knew who was going to be here today. I certainly have no idea of knowing that, but I can tell you this. If you're here this morning and you have made up in your mind, I'm going to do what I want to do, no church, no preacher, not even God himself is going to tell me what to do, you're in for a long, hard life, my friend. Now, I want you to listen to me, and it's not going to end well for you. So I'm going to tell you, it's best to serve God with your life. There's no greater thing you can do with your life. Now, I want you to think about this with me just for a moment, all right? Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop of what's happening here. So God had told Paul, once you go to Rome, he said, you're going to stand in Rome, and you're going to testify of my grace there in Rome. Paul was a prisoner. He stood before the authorities, and we've seen in the reading that Brother David had read before you, where he said that he had given him into a centurion named Julius, and he said, I want him to be in your watch care. Through a series of things, they get on this one particular ship that's headed toward Alexandria, that's going to be sailing toward Italy, and they're going to go toward Rome. Paul received admonition from the Lord, don't take this trip right now. It's not a good thing to do. And through a series of circumstances that we're going to look at, as I said again this night, we see where people just totally disregarded that and said, well, you know what? What does a preacher know? Man, we've got the experts. Well, I tell you, this world is full of experts. I'm telling you. And it's a group of people who know a lot about nothing, really, when it comes down to it. They believed them, and they totally disregarded the man of God. But though Paul was in this storm, God done some things for him. Now, I thought about this when I was studying this passage of Scripture. I thought about how many wives, how many children, how many people are in a storm, and it's not of their doing. They can't, listen, it's not of their doing. Somebody just gets an itch and says, you know what, we're going to up and we're going to do this, and we're going to go this way, or we're going to go that way, and they're left to their self. They don't have a vote in it. They don't have a choice. Now, I'm not talking about people who willfully disobey God and who willfully get out of the will of God and who say, I'm going to do wrong and I'm going to act against the clear teaching of the Word of God. I'm talking about someone who dad rises up and says, we're going to do this. And they say, well, I don't think that'd be a good idea. The Bible says, well, you know, we're going to do this. And they're put in a circumstance or a situation that's very sad. Now, there's a lot of people in life that way. Really, on a bigger scale, I want to tell you what happens on a bigger scale. Our country's that way. Here we are, all right? We do our civic duty and we vote, we pray, and there's people who hate Christianity. They hate the church. They hate the Bible. They hate conservatism. They hate our president. They hate what is right and good about our country, and they want it, listen, they want it abolished. They have what they think is their way. They want socialism. Can I tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They want God out of our schools. Listen, they've just about done everything but got God out of everything that's public. And they say, you know, we don't want nothing to do. We want to be a multi-plural as far as God. We want a plurality of gods. We don't want the Bible. The Bible's an antiquated group of writings of man. What authority does that preacher get up there and say those things? That mindset. Well, here we are. Brethren, I want you to listen to me very carefully. There's a great storm coming to this country. Oh, you're a prophet of doom, preacher. I'm a preacher of righteousness, just like Noah was. And there was a great storm came in his day too. He preached for 120 years, the righteousness of God. They didn't believe him, but the storm came. And I'm here to tell you, there's a storm coming to this country. I don't wish it. I would to God that America would repent and we'd get back to the Bible teaching and we'd get back to the old past, but I see nothing good ahead for our country. Nothing good. We're headed down a bad way, brethren. A bad way. Well, here's Paul. He said, I don't think we ought to take this ship. They said, well, get on, we're going anyway. We didn't talk to the helmsman. We didn't talk to the maker of this ship. We're not going to listen to some preacher. We're going to listen to these experts. And they got on the ship. But I want to show you what God did for a man. This is what God will do for you. You may be in a storm. You may be discouraged with the way things are going. I don't know. In our country, maybe with our churches, maybe with your family. I don't know. But I want to show you some things here. I want you to notice, first of all, how God guarded Paul in the storm. Look at what the Bible says. Look in verse number 20 just for a moment. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, you know what happened? They got on the ship. Paul said, don't get on the ship. They got on the ship. You know why they got on the ship? Because they thought, this is going to be smooth sailing. The expert said, go ahead and do it. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. In other words, they went by their feelings. They went by how things looked. And they said, well, hey, looks good, sounds good. Let's do it. Let's sail. My, how things can change quickly. Now, God doesn't change, but circumstances do. Look at the very next verse of Scripture, verse 14. Verse 14 says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Hurricane force winds. Cyclone hit them. And I mean, it hit them hard. It pounded and pounded and pounded on them until they every one thought that their lives were gone. And then it gets down in verse number 20, and it says that neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us. All hope, now watch this, that we should be saved was then taken away. Hopeless. You know, that's what can happen when the storms just pound and pound and pound and pound and pound, and there's no relief in sight. I've seen it happen to people. Just seems like out of one storm into another. And they lose their hope. They lose their hope. They lose their security. They begin to wonder, is there any end to this? But I want you to notice what God did. The Bible says in verse number 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. I hate when mom used to tell me, I told you so. Right? I told you so. There's going to come a day when this old world's going to shake like a leaf. God's going to shake this old globe. And there's going to be some prophets who are going to stand up, and I believe with all of my heart, in the tribulation period, there's going to be some sealed men of God. They're going to stand and say, we told you so. You were told. You were warned. And you would not hearken. He said, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, I've got a word from God. And he said, God said everything's going to be okay. But now you're going to have to start hearkening to what God said and quit doing it your way. God was with Paul. God was with Paul. God's no respecter of persons, which means God will be with you and God will be with me in the storm. Now listen to me. God doesn't leave you in the storm. Now this storm was out of Paul's control. He told them, don't go. It's not a good time. They went anyway. And God went with him. Now listen carefully. Paul didn't have any control here. But there's no storm out of God's control, and I want you to know that. And I don't know what you're going through this morning. I have no way of knowing. I don't know if it's discouragement. It may even be depression, spiritual depression. There's people in it. It's real. There are people they feel like quitting. There are people that say, I don't know how much more I can take. There are people that are wits end. They just think that there's no hope. Just like these folks. Look at it again in verse number 20. It says, when there was neither sun nor stars. Now, why does it say that? Because, see, they didn't have navigation systems back then. You listening to me? They didn't have radar. They didn't have radios. They depended on what God had provided through the sun and the stars. The sun to guide them by day and the stars by night to navigate them. But God shut it all out. And God said, you're on your own now. I sent you a man. He told you what to do. And you went against what I said. You want to do it your way? You'll do it without any help. And I'm going to tell you, it got rough. It got rough. And the Bible says that it got so bad here that they had lost hope. It's a terrible way to go through life, isn't it? You know, I've talked to a lot of people today, and it seems like they've lost their hope, brethren. Don't you lose hope. Because we have a blessed hope. They sang about it in the choir this morning. Jesus is coming back. Just like he said he would. He's coming back. That's our blessed hope. See, one day God's going to take us out of here. Now you listen to me. It's just as real as you sitting in that seat right there. Jesus is coming back. See, there's not one word. Not one word in all the Word of God. Not one jot. There's not one tittle of all the Word of God that's not going to be fulfilled. God's going to fulfill every bit of it. Just like he said. So we've gotten smart. We're an educated bunch, you know. We're so educated we know more than God. We think, but we don't. Listen, we have a lot to learn, and we need to keep our hearts and our ears open to what God has to say. God guarded Paul, and when these circumstances began to change, and they did, you see, they said, well, the wind's blowing. Look at verse number 13. Kind of softly, that southerly wind. Let's do it. But wait a minute. God's man said, don't do it. Well, you know, the circumstances look good for it. We're not going to take what God said. We're going to go with the circumstances. Circumstances changed quickly. I mean, real quick. And it got precarious real fast. Dangerous. They lost their hope. And God went to Paul. You want to see something that's really sad? I want you to notice the difference between Paul and his men and those without God. You see, I believe that there's a lot of people that though they would not stand up and tell you, I don't believe in God, they live like it. They live like it. There are Christians who live as if God doesn't even exist. They never ask God. They never counsel with God. They never commune with God. They never thank God. They just live as though, listen, their life says, I'm an atheist. Now, they'd never say it with their lips because they would think, oh, no, I would never say there's no God. But they live like it. You know what I'm talking about this morning? I hope that you do. Because if you never talk to God, if you never thank God, if you never pray, if you never commune with God, I want you to notice what Paul did here. I want you to notice what it says. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. But after long abstinence, you know what Paul did? While those people were doing their thing, and I'm going to show you what their thing was here in just a moment. It's the world's thing. There's a great big world out there that has cut God off. You know what they have? I want you to listen very carefully this morning now. Nothing. Now listen to me. Nothing. See, when you don't have God, you have nothing. When the storms of life come, you have no defense. Now listen to me. When the sun is shut out, when the stars go out, when God takes his things away, you are left with nothing. And when we get to the place in our lives that we say, well, I've got this, I have this training, I have that training, I know this, and I know that, and I can do this, and I don't need God. God says, well, I'm going to find out how much you need me. I'm going to let you see. And God allowed this situation. You know what these people had? Nothing. Now, brethren, I want to hasten to say this. If you have nothing, you need to get you something because the storm is coming. What or who are you going to lean to? Where are you going to turn when the storm comes? I'm telling you, there's a big one coming. Euroclydon is on its way spiritually to America. You listen to me now. If you can't just look at current events and know that we are in a troubled time, something is not right. What do you have? You know what Paul had? Communion. Paul had prayer. Notice it again now. It says in verse number 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Notice in verse number 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I just feel like probably they want to just bust him in the mouth. Amen. Are you kidding me? Be of good cheer. You read previously and you'll find out these people were in jeopardy of their lives. They were bailing water and chunking cargo. I mean, they had no hope. They thought their lives were over. And here stands this guy smiling up on the deck, and he's saying, hey, I talked to God, and God said everything's going to be all right. You think they're going to listen to him now? They didn't listen to him before. Right? Right? You know what happens to a group of people who will not listen to God? They develop a behavior pattern. They don't listen to God. They don't listen to God. They don't listen to God. The storms in life come and they won't listen to God. They have nothing to turn to. Don't you be there. Hear me this morning. Don't you get there in your life. You need to get along with God and develop some communion so that when the storm lands in this country, you'll have someone to turn to. Someone to draw strength from. Someone to get some solace from. Someone to tell you that I'm here and I'm going to take care of you through this time. I'm here to tell you God takes care of his children. God takes care of his own. You know what they had? I want you to turn over to verse number 29. And look what it said. Verse number 29, it says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern. Look at this next phrase. One of the saddest phrases that you'll ever read when it comes to man's hope. They wished for the day. I thank my lucky stars. Well, we hope things are going to work out. Maybe karma will come through. I'm telling you, brethren, this is the way people live their lives. Good luck. Good luck. Well, I sure hope you have more than a rabbit's foot. Listen to me now. I'm trying to get us to see when we have God, we have nothing. Without God, we have nothing. With God, we have everything. What do you have? The storms are coming. The storms are coming. Are you preparing? Are you fellowshipping? Are you in his word? Are you in the secret place? Are we depending on God, or have we shut God out and we're going through the motions and we're just playing religious church? Hear me now. I'm telling you, this is the problem in America, in our world today. Well, we're just wishing for this. We're just wishing on the stars. Listen, that's superstitious hogwash. Here's a man that stilled away back in verse number 21 for a long absence. Paul went and got in the secret place and got a word from God and came back and offered us some hope. You know what these people had? Nothing. We hope everything's going to work out all right, preacher. Well, if we're lucky, things will turn out. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians and Fellowship Baptist Church is no different than any other when it comes to this. God's given us a great church here. But there's people who will sit in this church and have nothing when the storms of life come. Nothing. No communion with God. No fellowship with God. No confidence. No secret place. No Bible reading. Nothing to really latch on to. When the crisis of life, and it's coming. It's coming. You say, well, I'm going to be on my P's and Q's, preacher. Make sure it doesn't come. Yeah, I think Paul was on his P's and Q's. See, God had a will for him to be in Rome. He sure did. And he was en route there. I don't think Paul knew that this storm was coming. earlier on in his, it goes all the way back to chapter 23, in his endeavor to get to Rome, as he testified there in Jerusalem, he was going to testify in Rome, and then through a series of circumstances, here he is. Here he is. He said, hey, it's out of my control here. I'm a prisoner. Listen to me now. I'm a prisoner. I'm under the centurion's watch. But I'm telling you, we shouldn't do this. We're going to do it. Hush up and get on. Let's go. Now here you are. And you may be thinking, well, I'm in control, preacher. No, you're not. Well, I'm going to make sure that this happens or that happens. Sometimes in life, you don't get to make sure. You're alone for the ride. Then what? Who you got? What do you have? Your lucky stars? Good luck? Rabbit foot, horseshoe, karma? Better have more than that now. A wish? Well, we're wishing. We wish. Not only did God guard Paul, and I've got just a couple of thoughts and then I'll be through. I'm warning you. This message this morning is a warning. Paul admonished these people. They wouldn't listen. Did you know the Bible over and over again tells us that there's going to be a warning? And people's just going to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye and just go on headlong their way. It's already happened more than once. It's already happened. God warned the old world with Noah. Did they listen? Nope, they didn't. I'm sad for that. Now, don't you mistake. I'm saddened for that. Those people were, listen, they were souls. They were souls. They perished in the flood. God sent angels to warn the family of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did they listen? No, they didn't. God has sent warning after warning on many occasions. God has sent it here. You go back and you look at some of the events that have happened in our country, there's no way that I'll ever be convinced that it wasn't God warning. Now, it's time to wake up, folks. It's time to wake up. Are we listening? For the most part, no. No. We're so busy grabbing everything and buying up everything and just living in the lap of luxury, the lifestyle, and we've just totally left God out. What happens when a people do that? Watch with me. Look at verse 15. And when the ship was caught, they could not bear up the wind. Into the wind, we let her drive. I want you to write this word right there, wander. W-A-N-D-E-R. This is the way a lot of people's going through life. They have no control. Their hand's not on the wheel. Circumstances. The storms are guiding them. That's what's guiding them here. Listen to me now. Paul said, hey, don't do this. He said, we're going to do it. You know what guides you when you leave God out? Circumstances. It's a terrible thing to let lead your life. It's a terrible thing to lead my life. They're just wandering. Going with every blow of the wind. Every blow of the wind. Just wandering. Just wandering. No rudder. No sail. Means nothing to them now. They're off course. Number two, notice if you went verse 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. If you read verse number 17, it says that they had taken up and they undergirded the ship. In other words, they just got so busy trying to save their life. So busy. Working. Right? I've just got to do something. Just got to keep going. I'll exert my energy and that's going to do it. It's not going to do it. It's not. Listen, without God, it doesn't matter how much you work, it's going to amount to little to nothing. You know that so, brethren. Listen, I understand what's going on right now. There's an enemy. And he's trying to get your mind. He's trying to get you. Listen, he'll put you to sleep. You say, well, no, preacher, you're doing that. No, it's not me. It's the enemy. I'm preaching God's word. And you're sitting there heavy-eyed and you're not, listen, your mind's somewhere else. You're thinking about a ball game or what you're going to do after church. You know why? Because there's an enemy. And he said, don't you listen to that now. You need to be thinking about something else. You need to kind of doze off so that you don't hear that, because then you'll be equipped when the storm comes. I didn't say if the storm comes. I said when it comes. It's coming. And you know what a lot of folks are going to be doing? Some may be sitting in this congregation right here, wondering. Wondering, like verse number 15, going to let her drive. Circumstances are going to control everything they do in life. Their emotions are going to be way up here one day and way down here the next. Up and down like a roller coaster ride, they're going to go through life wondering. Number two, working. Just, well, we can get through this. We can make this better. We'll just work harder. We'll just put more effort, and then everything will turn out all right. No, it won't. Nope, not when the storm comes. Got to have something outside of yourself. Got to have something outside of myself. Then number three, notice if you would, in verse number 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship. You know, all those things that mean so much to you right now are going to mean nothing one day. Now listen to me. They had all their belongings on the ship, their tackle, it was their livelihood. They had all their possessions and all the things that meant to them, that meant something to them. But you know what? When the storm hit and when survival mode kicked in, it meant nothing to them. You know what meant something to them? Keeping that ship afloat. Keeping that ship afloat. Church is not in the top five, preacher. Reading the Bible is not in the top three. The secret place is not in the top 10. God's not the Lord of my life. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a day when all the things that we put before God are going to mean nothing. We're going to throw them overboard like trash. Oh, it means something to me, preacher. It's worth investing my life. I'll work 4-12s. I'll work 5-10s. I'll work on the Lord's day. I'm going to get all I can and get all I can get. I'm just going to have things. I'm going to have more than everybody. I'm going to have more toys than all my friends. One day you're going to be throwing them overboard. Going to mean nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because the thing that means the most, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things, but when things have us, and brethren, we live in a society where things have people. I mean, it is unnerving how materialism has eaten up this country. The fabric of the soul of America is being eaten by materialism. We can't even have a Thanksgiving anymore without people having to run out and go Black Friday shopping. On Thursday, can't even sit around as a family and be thankful anymore. Why? Got to get out and buy stuff. I'm not fussing and arguing at you. I'm just trying to show you how the enemy's working. We can't even celebrate the Savior's birth anymore because we got to go out and charge a bunch of stuff to make sure we got enough gifts to give everybody. Materialism is eating away at the fabric of the soul of this great country, and it's creeping into our churches big time. And it's creeping into my life and yours. It's so, brethren. We've got to guard against this. One day, those things that mean so much to us that we thought was so important, these folks thought they were important too. But when the big storm hit, they just threw them overboard. Read it. It's like waste to them. Wondering, work, waste. Waste. I'm going to say this. I was sitting at my desk yesterday, and in my mind, as I was meditating on this, I began to look back over the many years of ministry where I've met good people, just like you folks. Listen, I'm so glad God brought me to Fellowship Baptist Church. What a wonderful thing God is doing here. But I want you to listen to me now. Listen to this. If we're not careful, as good as God has been to us, we'll begin to take His goodness for granted. It's hard for me to imagine how we could do that, but I've done it, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I've got to stay focused. I've got to realize, brethren, priority. There's going to come a day. I have been counseling and meeting with people, and it breaks my heart when I see that materialism and possessions and drugs and alcohol and vice has gotten in. The man of God said, don't do it now. Don't do it. Well, we're going to do it. You know what happened? They started chunking it overboard. It means nothing now. There's going to come a day when Dad's going to would give anything. I mean, he'd chunk it all overboard if he could see his son straight again. If I could just see my son sober again, I wouldn't play church anymore, preacher. I'd quit just going through the motions. If I could just see my daughter, Chase, if I could just know my children are safe and not out in the world living like the devil, I'd give it all if I could have that again, preacher. I'm telling you, brethren, it's real. It's real. If my wife could go one day without drinking, I'd never take another social drink again, preacher. We thought we were uppity-uppity, muckety-smuckety, whatever you want to call it, having us a glass of wine with our steak. We thought we were someone. If I could have just one day where my wife didn't have to slip off and take a drink, I'd give it all, preacher. It's real to people. It's real. You listening? If my son, my daughter, would just come to church, come to Sunday school, one more time, get back in church. Listen, I'd say forget that youth league stuff. Build your family on the house of God. Build your family on the things of God. I'd give it all. There's broken families that would give it all. They'd chuck it all overboard just to have all the things they thought were important, just to have sanity, purity, sobriety, the things that mean something. We've got it all backwards. Waste. Let me close. Here they are, and Paul's telling them, and they're saying, well, you know, we can do this. And then if you would, in verse number 29, I mentioned how they were wishing. There's a lot of folks, and I hope there's no one here this morning saying, well, preacher, we're just wishing that things will turn around. It's just our wish that things will turn around. We're wishing things will turn around in America. A wish is not going to get it done, brethren. A wish, there's going to have to be some long abstinences. Now listen, going to have to get in the prayer closet. Going to have to get back in the house of God. Can I tell you, Facebook is not church. Hear me now. We do that for those who can't get out, not for those who are too lazy to get out. You say, well, I posted something about Jesus on Facebook this week. I've done my duty. That's nothing. Chunk it overboard. Chunk it overboard. We need to fill God's house up. We need to do like this young man has set a great example for all of us. And some of you, get out and invite people and get them in the house of God again. If we want our churches to be strong again, we're going to have to get out and start telling people about Jesus again. We're going to have to quit being ashamed of the Lord and get out there and tell folks that Jesus saves. Amen. We're going to have to instill something. We're going to have to fire up the pulpit and get some fire going through this place. That's what it's going to take. After a long abstinence, Paul stood up. He said, it's going to take more than this. Watch the last resort now. And I'll close here. The last resort. This is what always happens. It always happens. When people have tried everything that they can, they wish and they waste. They chunk things overboard and they work. Well, if we just put more effort, we can do this. We can do this without God. We can do this. We'll wonder and work and waste and wish. But notice the last thing they did. Look at verse 30. Acts 27, verse number 30. And as the shipmen, this is intriguing. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, they had a little skiff, they had a little lifeboat. And you could read about that a little earlier, but here it is. And as they were about to let it down, they were saying, we're going to go back here and let some of these anchors off. But what they were doing is they were going to cut out. Going to cut out. Can't take it anymore. We're going to run. We're going to get out of this. Panic set in. Now the man of God had already had already stood up and said, listen to me carefully now. The man of God had already stood up and said, hey, God said everything's going to be safe. And that no life on this ship is going to be lost. You know what these people did? They didn't listen to a word he said. Just like possibly somebody here today. I'll be glad when that preacher gets through, man. I got things to do today. I'm telling you now, you're playing a dangerous game. And one day, when the storm comes, you're going to have nothing. Nothing. To protect and to steer and to navigate you through the hard times of life. So here's what they did. Look at verse 30. There were some of them who said, we're going to flee out of the ship. So when they let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors of the foreship. In other words, under the color, which means pretense. They were acting like they were going to cast anchors. But what they were doing is letting down the lifeboat, and they were going to get it and take off and leave the rest of them. Look what Paul told them in verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. That's not the way God said it. It's going to have to go the way God said it if it's going to get done God's way. So what happens? People began to panic and they began to run. But they don't run to God. They don't run to God's man. They run from him. That's what they're doing. God's man was on that boat. And God's man had gotten a word from God and said, you stay on this boat and you're safe. You know what these people done? They let down the lifeboat and said, we're taking off. We're running. Can't run from your problems, brethren. Young people, if you don't learn anything from this message this morning, you listen to this. You cannot run from your problems. You stand there, you trust God, you give your problems to God, and God will work you through. Listen, it may cost you something. It may. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that God's just going to work your problems out with no pain, no sorrow. You say, well, you know, it's painful to be a Christian. It's more painful not to be. I'm going to say that again, Christians. There are folks who say, well, you know, it's painful to do God's will. It's more painful not to. You listening? You listen to some Christians, they'll make you think the Bible says the way of the Christian is hard. But it doesn't say that. It says the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen? Amen. So what about it? Well, we'll finish it up tonight. The ship crashed. It sure did. But God in his grace used that crash to give them something to float aboard with. Isn't that something? That's God in his grace. God could have let them all just drown right there. But God said, I'm going to give you the ship. Paul had told them, everything's going to make it except the ship. But God provided that ship as a place for them to get to the land. Now, there may be somebody here just so hard-hearted and hard-headed enough to say, well, now, preacher, I've heard what you've had to say, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and just leave me alone. Like that devil-filled man in the synagogue, just leave us alone. You know, we're going to do what we want to do. If you're saved, God's going to send you a board that you can float in on. And it's going to be a sad sight. I've seen it so many times. People leave out with much and come back with nothing. They head out of God's house, they head out of God's will, and they go out and say, well, we're going to live it up, we're going to do it our way, and they head out, listen, they head out with their bounty full, and they come back empty. But thank God they came back. Sad sight to see, but it's a sight nonetheless. What about you? As we stand to our feet, what do you have this morning? Now, the storms are coming. The big one's on its way. Before the big one hits, I thank God he's going to take us out of here. But I believe there's going to be some real perilous times before Jesus takes the church out into the rapture. Now, we're going out here, brethren. Don't you thank God for that? But what are we going to face before we do? There are people that if they had their way, they'd shut this place down today. I just want you to know that. And you don't have to travel outside this county to find them. Okay? So don't be mistaken now. Don't get confused. The enemy is all around. The enemy's all around. He's really, really at work. What do you got? What do you got to get you through the storm? If you don't have God, you have nothing. Let's bow our heads together.